This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We call it the Hump Show because it's the middle show of the work week leading into the traditional hump day, but nothing about what we do on this show is traditional. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just going over the various pieces of the NBA's proposal to return to play not until July 31st, with a potential Game 7 of the finals on October 12th. And while they wouldn't necessarily be sequestered, as in it would be a rule that you couldn't leave the Orlando hub, yet another piece of adversity to test the eventual champion. We know that every champion in any sport, anywhere, has to go through a trial by fire. No team, no athlete starts a season or a campaign ready to be the champion. You have to go through a testing and trying process. You have to go through growth. You have to go through growing pains. And very often it is pain, blood, sweat, tears, losses, learning experiences. Sure, you can get by on sheer talent, but the best champions don't. They fail. And they get better because of it. It's a long process, especially in pro sports, where we're talking about an 82-game slate, typically, for the NBA and the NHL, 162 for Major League Baseball. Think about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows for the NFL, 16-game regular season for now. All the pressure that comes with it. It's really a war of attrition, survive and advance. Well, now you have another element to it in 2020. And we know the NHL is looking at two hub cities out of 10, the last we knew, while the NBA is set on Orlando and the Wild World of Sports Complex at Disney. So for the champion, you got to get in place end of July. Well, and even before that, because you're talking about training camps. Presumably, they'd want everyone in place to be tested, not quite sequestered, but sheltering in that area, quarantine of sorts, before they would start playing and really mixing it up. And then you go the whole month of August, the whole month of September, into October, at least 2 months, staying in that same place. Can you hack it? That's what I thought of. Can you hack it? The eventual champion will prove that they could hack it. They could take the heat, both literal and figurative. So that's the proposal that will be voted on by the NBA Board of Governors on Thursday. According to early reports, it is expected to pass 22 teams July 31st to return to play. Huh. That's two more months, guys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know what else starts in late July? NFL training camps. I want the NBA and the NHL to get their due. Now, it's through no fault of their own that they've had their season suspended. I don't understand why they're waiting so long. Logistics details, maybe wanting to see the virus numbers come down even more. Though much of the country is reopening and there are facilities all over the country that are reopened because governors want their sports teams back in their states. There are a handful that still aren't reopened completely, but for the most part, they are. Why wait until July 31st or until mid-July to get back to your practicing. That to me is, I don't know, it feels like it's a long time, and that it doesn't need to be that extended of a process to get back. But what do I know? I can only offer my opinions. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We've got a couple of things going on. What questions do you have for me? If you would like to ask Amy anything, you can do so by sending your questions to either our show Twitter or our Facebook page. And if you have a thought or two about the NBA, cool. But also, as we're asking, what did you learn from playing sports, coaching sports? Because I believe sports are a microcosm for real life. We love sports in this country and certainly across the globe. It's one of our great passions as a society. Participating in team sports can teach us valuable life lessons, and those can help us navigate the challenges that we're facing in 2020. From a virus and not being able to communicate in person, having to go out of your way to find ways to connect with family, friends, coworkers, creative ways to stay in touch, creative ways to talk and listen, but also now in light of the protests, the violence, the conversation, getting a flame that's lit under it and really exploding now with the death of George Floyd, with the murder charges against the officer who knelt on his neck, and presumably there will be charges against the other three officers who did nothing. We've had this explosion in, yes, protests, violence, looting, and it's on the front pages in pretty much every city around the country. But there's also an opportunity for a conversation here. There's an opportunity to, once again, attack this problem. And one person can't solve it. One city can't solve it. It's a societal problem. What can we learn from playing sports, from being part of sports, that can help us address this problem? Because it's going to take all of us to do it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in 12 minutes-ish. 12-ish minutes, maybe, is the more proper way to say it. John Walton, Washington Capitals play-by-play voice. The pipes are so recognizable. And the NHL has already gone through this process of coming up with its return to play plan. So I talked to John about what it means for the Capitals, what he likes about it, the staying power of the 2018 Stanley Cup champs, who've now got five consecutive division titles. Can't talk about the Caps without talking about the Great Eight. So fun to catch up with John. And that conversation is just ahead here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. I'll take this phone call first, and then I want to share with you about the TV ratings for 2019 and why I fear for the ratings of the NBA and the NHL. As much as it will be a novelty, and I think people will tune in because it's a novelty, the big bad NFL is still looming in the fall, and I don't know how those ratings are going to look when held up against the NFL's regular season, which will also be a novelty because it's likely to have fewer fans, if any fans at all, initially. Mike is listening in Virginia. Mike, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Last I spoke with you, the Nationals had just won the pennant.
Cool.
And you told me to give you a call when I got back from my deployment. I deployed overseas.
Yes, I remember. How are you?
I'm good. My family tried to keep, all of our families tried to keep us in loop of what's going on, but we came back to craziness.
Yeah.
And I came back to no Rendon anymore.
Wait, did you not know that the whole time you were gone?
No, I had the Rendon jersey in my sea bag.
Wow.
I had it for good luck in the MRAP, the vehicle. Uh-huh. And now I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, it's special. He's always going to be part of the first franchise World Series. So I don't know that you ever get rid of that. I think it should be even more special knowing that it was kind of this moment in time in which everything came together perfectly.
Yes, and just you were talking about playing sports. I played sports, but really, the whole me being in the military in my unit is, I don't know, like all of us were black, brown, purple, brown, tan, white. Mm.
Sure.
But each of us would take a bullet for each other, and we were all equals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the world can't be like that.
Yeah. Well, what do you when you get into that situation, though, you maybe don't know each other initially. You get to know each other. You're put in kind of a pressure cooker. But, you know, what do you think gets you to that point? I mean, how do you get to that point? Is it just because you have no other choice?
We worked with the local military of where we were. And, of course, we didn't know them from Adam and barely could talk to them. But after a while, when you're working with somebody, like a week, we'd start to trust them and show them the ropes, and they would show us their ropes, and then trust was gained.
Mm. I like it. Trust is so important to communication.
Yeah, and just a quick thing. Can you let me in on what the MLB is doing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you stepped into that hornet's nest. Major League Baseball and the players are going back and forth over how long the season should be, how much they should get paid, when they should return. It's a total disaster, Mike. I mean, it's a total disaster. So the owners are thinking 50 to 60 games because that means they'll have to pay the players less because the players have agreed to prorated salaries. Players don't want to take a dime less. They want to do 110 games. Don't ask me when they're going to do that. And right now, it's still pretty much a stalemate over money. So it's ugly. Let me just tell you, ugly.
Thank you for the MLB. We got a great field on Quantico, Marine Corps base.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they can come play all their games there.
Cool. That's a good idea. I love it.
Wait,
when did you get back, Mike?
A couple days ago.
Oh, my gosh. Are you right side up yet, or are you still kind of upside down?
I was good with I knew about COVID between our leadership and our families. I knew all about that, and we're on quarantine for 14 days.
Mm.
But other than that, the what has happened recently with the violence,
sure.
I'm still trying to piece it all together.
Yeah, I think we all are. It's a lot to take in. Well, I'm so glad you're safe, and I appreciate you calling to let us know how you're doing. It's great to hear your voice. Thanks again for your service. Mike, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Well, that's really cool. I do remember that phone call from Mike, actually, going back to right after the Nationals won and he was getting ready to deploy. That's awesome. So glad he's back. Man, time goes fast, although I don't know if it felt that way to him. All right, so we'll get to the NFL TV ratings and the dominance from 2019 when I have the opportunity, but I want to make sure we get to my conversation with Capitals voice John Walton.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The voice of NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, who gave us a thrill as sports fans last week when he unveiled the NHL's return to play plan. The NBA up next, Major League Baseball still lagging behind. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have questions for me? Ask Amy Anything comes up next hour. And so send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. And then also on our Facebook page. We are excited to share a conversation with longtime Washington Capitals radio voice, one of my favorites to listen to. He's epic. John Walton. I had a chance to catch up with him recently, and we started with the big week it was for the NHL. John, what was your reaction to seeing what Commissioner Gary Bettman and the front office put out there?
Well, first of all, I like that the NHL was taking a pretty strong lead in returning to play and doing it in the safest way possible and getting out front of it as much as anyone can in these sorts of times. I think that the commissioner said it as well as anyone could have. Look, everybody, no matter what team you are, there's probably something that you don't like about the plan. But the fact that there is a plan is a good thing. And 24 teams have a chance. There are certainly some teams like a Montreal or Chicago where, you know, they probably weren't going to be part of the postseason, but now they have a chance. Now you've got 24 cities that are engaged. You certainly have Depending on what happens with baseball, and, you know, there's certainly been some ups and downs in those negotiations, you may have a pretty wide berth to have a pretty big audience watching your product. So I think first and foremost, getting back and doing it safely, but I think for all teams involved, just to get back to something close to, it certainly isn't normal, but at least playing games, at least having a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup, it's what everyone in this business strives to do. And now you've got a chance to do that if all goes well post July 10th.
I'll be honest, when I saw that date, July 10th, I was a little taken aback because after getting the return to play plan, I was thinking, okay, phase one, phase two is about getting guys back in for individual workouts, which a lot of other teams and other sports are already doing, baseball and basketball. And then I see this July 10th before they can ever get to the point where they're doing their quote unquote training camp. Does that date surprise you?
It surprised me a little only because when the commissioner first made the announcement, and in fairness, he did say at least July 1st before players can get back into what would be organized groups, phase two, on the ice practice with coaches, et cetera. And then within a couple of days, we heard July 10th. And okay, well, July 10th means that you really can't expect to have any games before August.
Right.
This is going to be a three-week process. To ramp up, to have at least one or two, I don't know if we can call them preseason games, let's call them practice games, before you're back and playing in the play-in round, if you're Washington, if these mini qualifying series, if you're outside of the top four, that is the beginning of August. So you're going to have to, in the whole month, you probably can do the qualifying round, the first round, and part of the second. But then you're looking at, all right, third and fourth round, best of sevens, a little bit. We're not sure if it's best of five or best of seven yet in the first couple of rounds. But you're into the third round. Now it's September. And you could have a scenario where you might really have some hockey weather by the time the Stanley Cup champion is crowned. It might be October. It might be when you'd be going normally. So obviously everything for next season is going to be pushed back. You're looking at maybe January has even been kicked around, and the commissioner certainly didn't refute that and said anything's possible. So you've got a long way to go till this season is over, and then an even longer wait maybe until a regular season for next year could be underway. And again, this is stressing that it has to be, everything has to go right.
Right.
There may be some flies in the ointment and a hitch and a giddy up along the way. But if as long as everything goes well, I think that's sort of the plan that I think they're working with.
John Walton is the very recognizable voice of the Washington Capitals, one of our favorites with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. John, you've had a chance to do different video calls and fun interactions with some of the players with the Capitals. How are they hanging in?
Well, best that I know remotely on a Zoom call, they seem fine. We did a cooking show with Jake Verana and Jonas Siegenthaler, which was kind of fun. Those guys have some pretty good cooking skills, so I learned something about them I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. I've done some things with Peter Bondra, who's still very much within the organization on the business side and talking about his career. And something we did that was really fun during this time and needed, you know, in our community, and I'm sure every community, the food banks at this time are really hit hard and in need of support.
Right.
And we were doing video shout outs to fans for small donations through Cameo, where you could have us, you know, wish, you know, Mother's Day or a birthday or a graduation that didn't happen or a prom that didn't happen. We've done all of them, and some of them even words of encouragement for some of the frontline people like nurses and first responders, and those are always pretty emotional. But we raised more than $10,000 just by, you know, sitting on our backsides and talking to fans, which was, you know, it was great for us to have something to do and, you know, to be able to have that engagement with fans and to be able to, you know, help those who really need it in the D.C. area was a good thing. And it caught on a little bit, too, in New York and Minneapolis, St. Paul, and a couple of other cities where there were similar initiatives. So, yeah, really, really happy to, if you've got the time, try and do the best you can with it. And hopefully we've done that.
With the end of the regular season, in essence, the Washington Capitals clinch a fifth straight division title. First time in the franchise history. It's been an incredible run, of course, with the Stanley Cup championship in the mix as well. What is the key to the consistency for the Capitals?
Well, Alex Ovechkin's a good start, and the stretch that he's had in that 5 years, going back to when Barry Trotz was in Washington, and now Todd Reirden has followed up with a couple of his own since Barry left for the Islanders. It's been a core in the top six that will go down in Caps history as probably the best top six they've ever had. When you've got Alex, who will have his not only his number in the rafters when it's all over, but a unanimous potentially a Hall of Fame first time out. Nick Backstrom, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer too. And I don't know that people outside of Washington may be thinking along those lines yet, but I think they will be by the time that his numbers are done. And having won a Stanley Cup now certainly adds to that resume. TJ Oshie and all of his popularity and goal-scoring abilities, that's a pretty good part of your top six. Throw in Tom Wilson, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Jacob Vrana, who's been tremendous and is certainly a legitimate NHL top six now. There's no holes there. There's not a lot of holes either at this point in the bottom six. Ilya Kovalchuk coming over right before the deadline. Slotted in pretty nicely on the third line, and I put Richard Panik on the fourth line. They're with a healthy team, and that's what we would expect going into the postseason. That'd be fine. I think there's still some questions on defense. They had a pretty uneven year in that core. The goaltending at the time of the pause with Braden Holtby was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the forwards are, those are the success points. And I think that's been going on by and large for a long time here, and hence the reason five in a row.
I will ask you the same question about Alex. You mentioned him as being the key to the consistency for the franchise. He really sets the tone. But after the shortened season, he once again is tied for the most goals, 48 of them in the shortened season. What's the key to his consistency personally?
I think he's had such an incredible career, but I think when you look at what he has done in this five-year span, and really since the team won, his captaincy he got at a young age, and he had to grow into the role. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but he has, and I don't know that people outside of Washington really have the true sense of the leader he's become, and I think that's translated to now at age 34, going to be 35 in September. We used to say that was training camp. I think that might be in the middle. He might have a birthday in the middle of the playoffs, which we never would have anticipated. But that's, as he gets older, he is taking his training very seriously. He's had a personal trainer, his personal trainer, with him in quarantine at his house during this time. He has certainly not taken his foot off the gas, despite 80 days away or whatever it's been at this point. You see the work ethic from him, and he expects that of his teammates. And I think after winning and after knowing what it takes to win four playoff series in a single spring into early summer, he wants to get back and do it again. It's certainly not going to bother him if it's at a pod in September. He wants to raise the cup again and continue to add to his legacy. I think that's only made him stronger as a player.
John Walton is the voice of the Washington Capitals on their radio network and also part of NHL on NBC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The last two Stanley Cup runs, really the finals, have been phenomenal. So last year, the St. Louis Blues winning their first in franchise history and doing it in Game 7 on the road, and then going back to the Capitals. And what an incredible, incredible breakthrough for them. I know the city really embraced it. I was on the air. It was a Thursday night. I was on the air doing my show right after they won the cup. And I just remember seeing all night long the various videos and social media posts of Ovechkin and some of the other Capitals in Vegas out with the cup. It was just such an experience to watch. John, what will you remember? Some of the moments, the memories from that experience, that last clinching game and then that week that followed.
A lot. And there's so many different things. It's a tough thing to answer, I suppose. Vegas itself and being on the ice. I mean, having been a kid that grew up in Minnesota and watched, the North Stars, yeah, they got to a final once, but they were escorted from the premises pretty early by the Islanders at my youngest age. And getting back and a chance with getting to a final in 1991 against Pittsburgh, where, quite frankly, they didn't have any business being there. They got hot at the right time. And after a very subpar regular season, managed to find their way there only to get Mario'd by the Penguins in the beginning of what's now five championships in Pittsburgh. So You know, for me, I'd watch that on the ice every year, and, you know, I wanted to, you know, be a part of an organization that got to do that. So being on the ice and being down there, which we were, and my partner Ken Sabourin was too, and getting to raise the cup over your head on the ice in that atmosphere is just it's true. It weighs 35 pounds, but it weighs nothing in those moments. And then just leaving the arena that night, flying back, seeing the embrace of the city, being on the mall. There were 750,000 people on the mall in Washington. And for those who live here, we are obviously a political town. We see a lot of things that happen on the mall. And whether it's a cause you believe in or a cause you don't, anything that goes on the mall usually has somebody upset about something,
right,
or wanting change for something. This may be the first time in city history where there were that many people who were just deliriously happy and seeing that outpouring of red and the Washington Monument in the background and the Capitol behind us. It was an extraordinary period, and being able to be around the Cup during the summer and various Cup parties around town, it never stopped being surreal. I would love to have that moment again. I would love to, once you do it once, you figure, hey, we finally did it. It's like, hey, you get to the next year. It's like, yeah, let's do that again. That was really fun. So, maybe Washington gets another chance to do that. But it was an unforgettable 2 months. It was an unforgettable final, and it was an unforgettable summer. And I think one in D.C. history that'll be remembered long after we're all gone.
We still use the Alex Ovechkin yelling, the roars, both from the ice when he picked up the cup for the first time, and then from the victory parade where he was so funny, and we drop clips in all the time. That has got to be, you talk about an incredible 2 months, but that week has got to be one of my favorites in sports history because of how much he reveled in it. The relief, the thrill, just the euphoria. You could almost live it through him because of how expressive and emotional he was.
You really felt everybody, even if you're not a Caps fan, and even if, unless you were perhaps a Pittsburgh fan or a division rival, perhaps, maybe you didn't view it in that lens. But I think for everyone else in hockey and just watching the emotion, this is a guy who in any radio interview that any of us ever did up until 2018 or any television interview, the question will always come up, gosh, Alex Ovechkin's a really good player. The Capitals have a really good team. But the regular season really doesn't mean much because they never win in the playoffs. And no one ever, I mean, in every interview he ever did, especially in Toronto and Montreal, and every question would be something like that. And I remember after we won, the first time we went back to Montreal, and Alex facing the media and just smiling. And I had been around him enough to know that this was a moment that he truly enjoyed, if for no other reason, that these are the same people who would always ask him, oh, gosh, you know, Xander, when it comes. So, and a lot of times, you know, he'd answer the questions, but he, you know, just would walk away, and that would be that. He stood in there and said, what, that's it? Okay, great. Got anything else? Great, okay. Just one question after the other. And smiling because that question wasn't being asked anymore. And, you know, I think that was a huge burden off him. I think it was a huge burden off the city, the franchise, the fan base. It was something that had followed this team. They were the team. They were the poster child for the team that couldn't get it done. And then they did. And once they did, everything changed around here forever.
And what a great run it's been for DC sports over the last couple of years, too. So maybe that opened up Pandora's box. You can find John on Twitter at Walton Caps, the voice of the Washington Capitals. Would love to hear your broadcast, John. Glad you're doing well. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
No, Amy, it's good to be with you. And hopefully that happens sometime late summer. Why not? We'll give it a shot.
Alex Ovechkin could celebrate his birthday during the playoffs, which would be crazy. But everything's different. That's the mild way to put it. Everything's different in 2020. It was still 7 months to go. So much is possible. Endless possibilities for the rest of 2020. Great to talk to John Walton. Can hear the voice. I love the voice. It's part of my favorite thing is the recognizable voices of play-by-play for some of the teams around the country, and you get them on the show, and it's like, yeah, that's it, that's him.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Literally one of my favorite championship celebrations of all time. I could watch it over and over and over again. And I actually have the video of Alex Ovechkin raising the cup for the first time on the ice in Vegas a couple of years ago. In fact, it would have been not sure the exact date. I don't think it was exactly 2 years yet, probably a little closer to the 7th or 8th of June, maybe. But it was so much fun to watch it play out. And I have the video of him hoisting the cup for the first time, that yell and the racing around the ice and just the excitement. I mean, such sweet relief and euphoria, of course, but anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. And Alex Ovechkin knows that and never has to answer the question again about why haven't you been able to win a Stanley Cup? So cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In my neighborhood, over the last 5 minutes, we are experiencing a bit of thunder and lightning. It doesn't sound like it's raining super hard. In fact, I'm not sure it's raining at all. But there's been some thunder, and Penny is deathly afraid of thunder. My cat's not fond of it. Penny hates it. She shakes, like, internally. Her whole body starts to shake, poor thing. And so, you know me, I take any opportunity to snap photos of the dog. And she was laying right here behind my chair. So every time I get up, I'm having to kind of squeeze my knees in and out of the desk. Oh, I already banged my knee once trying to make sure I didn't disturb the dog. But as the first rumble of thunder happened, because I have my window open, not that she wouldn't be able to hear it otherwise, but I have the window open, and she kind of sat up. She was fast asleep, sat up, and her ears are perked, and she's trying to figure out what's going on, if that really was thunder. And then after the second and third rumbles of thunder, she decided, well, she better head for the hills. And in the case of my dog, heading for the hills is underneath the bed. And so I can't help it. I snapped a photo of my dog getting underneath the bed. It looks like she's got tadpole legs initially. And I took a series of photos of the dog getting underneath the bed and her rear, her rump sticking out. She's so funny. I feel bad. So I'm trying to talk to her. I can see just one foot and part of her tail now. Everything else is underneath the bed. I don't know how this 75-pound dog gets under the bed. It's quite a process, but she does. And Thunder is her nemesis. Spiders are my nemesis. Thunder is her nemesis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, for being part of the Hump Show. Dave looked up the specific date so we know. The Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup on June 7th, 2018. So we're just a few days shy of that 2-year anniversary. The parade was June 12th. It was amazing as well. And it was great to talk to John Walton and get his memories and recollections, his stories, those moments that he'll never forget from that week after they won the cup in Vegas. And then we're able to celebrate on the mall with thousands, hundreds of thousands of their closest friends. So hope you enjoyed that conversation. All of our interviews are posted separately on the podcast afterhoursamylawrence.com. Still to come this week, Gene Steratore, CBS, NFL, and college football rules analyst. He is a hoot. I love Gene. It's one of my favorite interviews. And so Gene Steratore before the end of the week, and in addition to being now the CBS rules analyst, and we'll ask him about the whole failed experiment with replay review for pass interference. But he's also a small business owner, and I remember him telling me about that the last time he was on the show. And so, of course, he's got a unique perspective as someone who runs a business in addition in Western Pennsylvania. And so we'll ask about his experience during the pandemic, as there are many places around the country where non-essential businesses are reopening with restrictions, with limitations, but finally getting back to work. It's so great. I never thought I'd say this, but it's so great to see and hear the traffic that is now kind of ramping up again in the mornings on the highway outside my house. And I actually had to drive to the airport on Tuesday morning. So I had a friend visiting for a couple of days, and her flight was Tuesday around lunchtime, but the easiest way for me to get her to the airport was take her, not that long after I got off the air on Tuesday morning. And so I drove her to the airport in what would typically be rush hour. And there was actually traffic enough that there were times when I had to sit on my brakes and couldn't go the speed limit. And so I was grateful for traffic, but also we got to the airport and it was a ghost town. Ghost town. I have never seen a major airport like that in the daytime hours. Every now and then I've gotten stuck in an airport overnight and, you know, maybe it's weather or a plane getting canceled. And so you can find parts of the airport that are relatively deserted where there's no one working. But this was 7:45 in the morning and there's no one in her entire terminal. And she actually called me because there was a major mix up. Her flight was on Delta. Delta still had the flight scheduled, but they didn't have it on the board and someone from TSA told her there was no flight at that time. So there's a little bit of panic. So I can imagine it's probably happening with a bunch of travelers, but, airport empty. Humongous airport is Newark and it was relatively empty. It's still so surreal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside of an hour until you can ask Amy anything. And so find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. What did you learn by participating in team sports, whether third grade little league, which is where I got my start, or whether semi-pro sports, maybe pro sports. We do have some former professional athletes that listen to the show, I know, because they've reached out and connected with us coaches. By being part of team sports in any way, what did you learn? And I've seen some NFL, current NFL players, former NFL players, some football players that played at the highest level in college, some who are coaches like Vic Fangio of the Denver Broncos, talking about how in the NFL, racism and discrimination are not prevalent. I thought this was interesting. Coach Fangio, as many of the coaches in various sports have done, responding to the death of George Floyd and the protests and everything else that has ensued in the last week. And he said, and I will read you the quotes. We don't have the audio yet. Maybe we'll get it, but I'll read you the quotes. I think our problems in the NFL along those lines, meaning racism, discrimination, are minimal. We're a league of meritocracy. You earn what you get. You get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal, and we all intermingle and mix tremendously. If society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great. Now, it's interesting that he says that, considering we've just had this big discussion over the Rooney Rule and what needs to change with the Rooney Rule. So I was actually, I don't want to say surprised, because I would agree with him. When you look inside an NFL locker room, you've got all shapes, sizes, backgrounds, languages, ethnicities, races. You've got everything. And it's roughly 100 people, if I'm estimating correctly. Now, we just went through this whole process of amending the Rooney Rule to mandate more interviews for minorities when it comes to head coaching and coordinator positions. The Rooney Rule is supposed to increase the number of minority candidates that are interviewing for these jobs. And while there definitely is this desire to put minorities in, you know, greater positions of power and leadership, it's been difficult to do. Sometimes the numbers are there, sometimes the numbers are not. And recently the numbers have not been there. They don't reflect the population of the NFL. And so here's Vic Fangio saying we don't have racism or discrimination in our locker rooms, and yet the Rooney Rule is definitely required, though. How do you apply it? draft incentives. Those were tabled and shouted down by a lot of minorities. Minorities, African-Americans, others, definitely part of the success of the NFL. And yet, in the leadership positions, there has to be an extra incentive or an extra mandate. But you're hearing that from the likes of DeMario Davis. He's another one that was on the NFL Network talking about the strength of an NFL locker room and how everyone works together. So I want to know from you, after participating in team sports, what did you learn that would help in a situation like what we're going through as a nation? And we'll get to that after the top of the hour.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.